On this episode of the Note Show podcast, we've got another Valley legend, and just a legend period, Paul Rodriguez. Coming up in SoCal, P-Rod started out with a love for skating and took the sport to another level. As skate culture identifies with creativity and dedication and constantly shifting the paradigm, he's always been at the forefront of it. We focus so much on developing skill with passion, living and breathing your craft, and that is a major common thread in the skate game. For Gil, he's drawn to P-Rod's elite level talent, but also his gifts. To try new things and to think of the ultimate tricks is something that is close to his heart. P-Rod's style and intellect was something that through their Nike connection was also wisdom shared in conversations with Kobe. In a sport where falling down is a given, it's the character to get back up and keep pushing that's what we can all draw from. So here it is, P-Rod on No Chill. Remember, subscribe wherever you get your podcast to get every episode as soon as they drop. Don't forget, No Chill with Gilbert Arenas every Monday on the Fubo Sports Network. Welcome to No Chill with Gilbert Arenas. I'm Mike Botticello. He's Gilbert Arenas. And Gil, on the show today, we have Paul Rodriguez, P-Rod.
What's up, fellas?
P-Rod.
How are you doing? Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you.
No problem.
Happy to be here.
Happy to have you. And you know, the funny thing is there's a connection here. Two Valley products.
Yeah.
And Gil, this could have been some history in the making. You're both at Birmingham High School.
Yeah.
Not for long, but if you'd have stayed there, there would have been an overlap while you were there for a minute.
If I'd have stayed there too.
And neither of you stayed there.
Something about going in and leaving was the best thing for both of us.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was just like the culture of the Valley that you guys both came up in, hoopers, skaters.
Mm-hmm. Well, technically, like skating, like hoop wasn't really a thing. Skating was.
In the Valley for sure.
Yeah, skating was a thing
was everywhere. Yeah. Yeah, all of LA pretty much.
And I'm going to say this. I don't know if anybody has. Probably have. But SoCal is the mecca for skating.
For sure.
You always say actually like SoCal West Coast is all about the hoop.
Yeah, because
culture.
Of the weather. You know, sure. It's the weather.
You can do it year round. Yeah, exactly.
Empty pools.
Yeah.
But also what that breeds, right, creatively, there's something about that in the culture. It's not just like the weather, we just go find places to skate,
yeah.
But there's it pushes you to...
I think it's also like, you know, skateboarding, being a street skater, is also the architecture. You know, we have good buildings, good ledges, good concrete, good... it's not weather. It's not always raining, so the concrete's not all chewed up and nasty. Everything's smooth and nice here, so... That's really good. And then, yeah, you can skate year round. You never have to go inside for the winter and wait and hibernate until next year. So, yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's just something about sunshine year round and just puts you in a good mood. You know?
And when you get on, you know, it's like a tribe. You have your friends and then you just want to go hang with your friends.
Sure.
And we skate.
Definitely.
Like, when did it become serious? because growing up, we skate, we try shit, we get hurt. We're like, I'm done.
Give me a bike. Like, you mean in general or you mean for me personally?
Just in general, like, when did it be?
That's a good question. I'd say probably when people actually were able to start making careers out of it would be like mid-90s, early 2000s would be when people were like, oh, like, we can really make a profession out of this and have a future doing it. And that's lucky for me, exactly when I found skateboarding and came into it. And it was just right place, right time from my, you know, in my circumstance.
And that was also all about getting on a skate video, mm-hmm. getting noticed. That's what puts you on the map.
Yeah. We call them a sponsor me tape. Mm-hmm. So it's like a music artist doing a demo tape, like giving them out to all the mm-hmm. executives. You know, we would have, if you had a camcorder, had access to one, you have your friend film you skating and you edit it down and you send it out. You look in the magazines for all the addresses to the companies and you mail them out and hope you get a call back. And
pre-internet.
Yeah, pre-internet. This is like 99, 2000 when I was getting my sponsor me tapes put out there, you know. So.
And that's, I mean, to get on that radar, but pre-internet, you know, now you have social media and yeah. get ahead of that, but we know the mixtape culture and basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I was the same area, you know. So it's like before anything, like,
yeah.
Basketball players, we need to think about like, I'm gonna videotape myself and you know, show it to other, you know, colleges or high schools to try to get on. It was just like, hopefully you see me one day.
Right.
Hopefully.
Damn. Yeah. Like, how is that? Like, did you like hope a scout would just come into the crowd, or did you know to go play certain places that would likely be scouts or something like that?
Yeah. You know, especially from the Valley, you know, when it came to basketball, we were the soft kids. Mm. So like we had to go out like to LA, play in LA tournaments, go to Vegas. Hopefully your team is good enough to, you know, compete. Right. So, you know, because it was all year round, you know, we're just traveling, go to Venice Beach, see if there's some hoopers there, you know, and just try to make these games and hopefully you get seen.
Right.
You know, but that's still more of a team thing, you know, instead of, you know, individuals at that point. So, you know, when you're in a team atmosphere, it's a little harder.
Right. You got to stand out.
Yeah. You got to stand out in a team concept.
Right.
You know,
right.
And then trying to be like, you know, if you already have a team and, you know, I want to get on, I got to follow y'all rules, you know, before I can try to make my move.
Right.
You know,
right,
so that becomes conflict. And
I never thought about that.
Yeah. it's difficult. Like, you know, we train by ourselves and then we have to fit in. It's like,
yeah, that's interesting.
Gotta work these moves and now I gotta pass you the ball.
Right. Right. Like, you don't wanna be that selfish dude.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm thinking of a guy actually, you know, like we're watching right now, Dame Lillard, whereas he kind of always had to do that. Come from Oakland, going to a small school, Weber State, and he could do all of that. And that put him on the map. And he was like, man, I'm going to keep producing. I'm going to keep putting up these points, you know, and having these games, and I'll get recognition eventually. But I mean, for you, like you could keep working and keep grinding and to get noticed, put out videos. But it's like, man, how are people going to find? You had to push that yourself.
Yeah, yeah, you definitely, like, especially pre-internet, you had to, like, kind of, you know, again, for me, I was just blessed, born in the right place, like, right in the center of the skate world, you know. Thankfully, you know, I was able to cultivate and develop a talent, but, like, it wasn't hard for me. I could just go right into the popular skate shop and drop my video off there, like, here's my video, or mail it right to one of these companies that I was hoping to get sponsored by, but, like, kid, you know, in Oklahoma, early 90s, trying to get recognized, man, that's respect. Like, dudes pulled it off too, you know? But I, like, for me, like, I guess I was so spoiled just like being right here in arm's length of everything. So somebody coming from middle of the country or even overseas, try and make it, like, they had to, like, you know, get 2-3 jobs to earn enough money to make it out here to come stay for a summer to hopefully make an impact and get on somebody's radar and to make the official move out here, you know? So it was a grind at that era. I mean, it still is a grind, but it's easier now. Like, you know, you have YouTube channel, you just mail, DM a link to somebody, like, here's my stuff. Like,
I was gonna say, is it easier now? Because now there's more, I guess, competition, or it's more saturated, or
it's
like—
It's easier to connect with people. Mm-hmm. It's probably just as hard to stand out as far as talent-wise, because yeah, it's so much competition.
So what's your gift?
Ooh, what's my gift? I think my gift, especially early on, was like super obsessive, like addicted, like I couldn't stop. So that helped me to progress pretty fast. And I think I'm really good at falling. So that helped me avoid a lot of injuries. Like when I was a little kid, real young, I used to do karate class and I did gymnastics and, you know, once I passed that phase of life and started skating, all that stuff came in handy. Like I would fall, roll, tuck and roll properly. And I avoided so many injuries. So that allowed me to get up and try again, get up and try again and progress and progress. So I think my gift was like, I fall good.
That thing, that addiction that you just mentioned, and you can relate to that, is like once it's just in you, you can't shut it off.
No.
And that's an intangible that not everybody has. And, you know, then what is it? Like, you're just always pushing yourself, or you just can't stop? It's always you can't shut your brain off.
No, like, nights, you know, you're tossing and turning in bed, yeah, because you're like, this is what I want to do tomorrow when I skate, I can't wait to do that, and then you end up not sleeping and you're tired the whole next day. Yeah, I don't know. It's just a natural thing. You want to push yourself, right? Like, it's, if you love what you do, you're just like, oh, I did this. Now what if I can add this to it? And what if I can do this now? And, you know, if I jump this high today, maybe I can jump this high tomorrow. And it's just a natural thing that you want to do. And you can't even control it. It's like you're like a zombie. Like, I must keep going.
Yeah.
So. And I think you know that, Gil. Like, you've seen a lot of guys that they have all the tools and the abilities in the world, but they just not bitten like that.
Yeah, you know, just with anything in the world, like, when, no matter what your passion is, you have to love it.
Sure.
You know, once you love it, then you can run down the rabbit hole of success, because with that rabbit hole run, it never ends.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? There's no ending to it. There's no final boss, game over.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So when, no matter if you're at the top, there's still, oh, I can't really do this. Now you're trying to chase doing that. You know, so the obsession is, that's what makes you great.
Yeah, as long as you can see like a picture in your mind, a vision in your mind, like, I think this can happen. I think this can be done. If you're already obsessed with it, then you become obsessed with that idea. Whether it's possible or not is kind of like irrelevant. Mm-hmm. It's more about like the fun of the hunt of just the pursuit of it. Because, you can't beat the game in these things, you know what I mean? Like you play a game, you can win that game, but like there's still like our next game. I'm sure if you watch tape or whatever, you're like, I could have did this, I could have mm-hmm. done that, I made a mistake here. I mean, and you're always just, that's the fun, just getting into that, the detail.
Well, and that rabbit hole, what you're talking about is endless creativity.
Mm-hmm.
There's always a counter, another move, another thing, like I did this. And thing, can you be perfect though?
No, absolutely not.
You've never felt that way, like, man, that was perfect.
Maybe a particular trick, like, you know, like if I'm in the streets and I'm trying to film a trick and I have a picture of how I want it done in my mind, and say you do it and it's exactly the vision you have, sure, you're like, that's exactly what I wanted. But perfect, I don't even know what that exactly means. It's like a illusion, you know, it's a myth. But there's days, you know, you're feeling the zone. Like, I feel like every trick I want to do, I'm gonna be able to do it today. I can't fall. You're locked in for sure. And I wish I can control when those days happen. You know? Like, damn, why can't I just do this all the time, every day? Like,
because it's not that easy.
No, yeah. It's just the perfect lining of the stars or whatever. Maybe you ate good, you slept good, your body felt particularly good. Maybe you had, you know, got some good news, and then you just, this whole thing, and then you take it to the skateboarding, and it just all comes together. I don't know.
Like, when you train so much and you put that dedication in, and when everything's timed, it's just like one of those things that's like automatic.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Your brain just automatically just knows when to fire. Your feet know when to fire.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're in control. Like, I was watching some of your tricks, and I'm sitting here like, the flip turn, and me turning, like, I remember the coolest thing I can do is just go on a hill, like, hilly, what's happening, y'all? Other than that, that shit was too hard for me.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's, you know, it's a lot of movements.
I got a lot of scars from the skateboard.
Period.
I got plenty of myself, too.
But, I mean, even the thing about it is you put in so much work, like, you work your ass off for it. When everything falls into place, like, that's the ultimate satisfaction.
Oh, dude, yeah, it's a high. You go home that day feeling like a boss. You go home eating, you want a good meal, and you just want to sit back and just relive that moment. And then tomorrow you wake up and you step out of bed and you're like, ow, everything hurt. And you're like, damn it, but it was worth it.
So what's the most important thing or the key to being, you know, great at best skating? Is it feet? The mind itself, balance, like it.
I think mindset will make up for anything. You know, obviously different people have different gifts physically or whatnot. Some people can jump real high. Some people have incredible balance. Some people, you know, different natural gifts. But like, I think overall, your mindset will kind of make up for whatever you might be lacking. I think maybe that could probably be applied for anything, you know. Sport, whatever, business, anything. Like, it's just, if you have a mindset that's just obsessed with getting better. Like, you will get better, mm-hmm. no matter who you are or what place you're in. So I think the biggest thing, and I don't think a lot of people give enough credit to what a mindset could do. Like, you know, I think people give it more credit into like, oh, stronger, faster, bigger, whatever, you know, like, sure, you have that. But if you don't have that grit, that determination, that like relentless desire, then those talents aren't really going to take you anywhere.
What's funny is when you speak of that, you know, you hear a bunch of, you hear what's going on now with like mental health issues. Mm-hmm. And people are like, oh, that's just weak-minded. In sports, that's how we think about it. Like, oh, you know, it's not mentally strong enough to, you know, but it is, all greatness has to do with is mind. When you're at a certain level, it's, you know, who can block out stuff longer, mm-hmm. faster, mm-hmm. you know, who can just be numb to failure or success. Mm-hmm. You know, that really is the key. Who's, anxiety you can bring it down. You don't get too excited or too, right. you know, and that's all part of it. Like, it's all part of it. Like, and people just don't understand. Like I'll see like somebody make a comment and I'm like, yeah, they're going to come after you, bro. Mm. The players, is, you know, they smell, mm-hmm. that's blood. That's blood mm-hmm. in the water. There's just mm-hmm. certain things you don't say
yeah.
in public because, you know, the Tigers are looking for weaknesses. So if they can't find a weakness in your game, they're going to check to see if there's one here, you know, and like being mentally strong is a very, very big part of just being successful in anything.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just like something that I think more, especially kids coming up, like need to like really like understand that. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I've seen so many people, and I'm sure it's with any sport, right? Like so many people who have natural gifts, like, oh my, so many kids I grew up skating with that were so much more physically talented than me, smoother, better coordination, balance, whatever, you name it, right? But like it came to them from what it seemed like so easy that they never had to develop their grit, their persistence, their, you know, their heart. And when they hit their first challenge, they end up kind of just, I'm not up to it. Mm. Like, so like I think that the real talent is the heart, the mindset. Sorry, my stomach's growling. And breakfast. So that I think is the actual talent, is the mindset.
Well, what you're dealing with, you fall down so much. Mm-hmm. So you got to be able to get back up. Like that's the expression about sticking with something mm-hmm. or characters. Like we fail
sure.
so often. Wow. You miss so many shots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Way more than you succeed.
Right.
You fail way more than you succeed. It's crazy. So it's just once you realize like it's a numbers game, it's like, all right, I messed up this time, but that means I'm one time closer to getting it. Mm-hmm. You know, all right, I messed up 500 times. I'm due for a good one right now. I'm due for it. I know it's here. It's just keep knocking on the door. It's going to get answered, you know?
But what do you think about this? The best are the ones that are supremely confident, that they know, put me in the arena and I will be the apex predator. Larry Bird comes in. Who's coming in second place? Walks in. Shuts down the locker room.
Yeah, I think that comes with knowing the type of work you put in, the type of experience you have, what you've been through. Like, I don't think, you know, you start day one with that confidence. I mean, it's good to have a certain level of confidence, but there's a big difference between false confidence and real confidence. And like, once you know, like, if you're prepared and you did everything you need to do and you walk into a certain situation, yeah, you're gonna give off that aura. Like, yeah. It's my day. Like, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, I've always said that, you know, people who have a lack of confidence is no different than, you know, cramming for a test. Mm-hmm. You're only not confident because you didn't put the real work in.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you didn't actually do the work. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you're second guessing everything you're mm-hmm. doing because you didn't really do what you needed to do.
Yeah.
But a person who's putting hours and hours and days and 7 days a week, 16 hours a day, they don't have no lack of confidence. They're walking around like, yeah, you know, it's one of those. It's like, do you think Steph Curry is going to take 10,000 shots and then he's going to be nervous during a shooting contest?
Right.
No. You know, but that's where it comes from. It's like the people who put the work in. But you got to remember, there's real work and there's false work.
Sure.
There's,
yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? There's, you know, yeah, I spent 3 hours in the gym, right? I do that at home. Mm-hmm. I'll go to the gym and I usually spend 3 hours in the gym, but I don't do nothing. I watch TV, watching TV shows, playing a little game, you know, like, okay, walk on the treadmill a little bit, like, and then leave, like, good 3 hour day.
I'm working out. I need my trainer there. There's no escaping when the trainer's there. Yeah. With skating, it's automatic. That's already. I got my little voice that is constantly on me about, you know, keep pushing. So,
who are your influences coming up?
Skateboarding influences. My main three is Eric Costin, Tom Penny, and Andrew Reynolds. Those are like my three like guys that I tried to mold myself after. But there's so many out there, man, who've been so influential.
What happened when it got to a point that you were at their level?
I don't know that anything particular happened. It's just really cool because now I know all these guys on first name basis. And like they were all posters on my wall as a kid, you know. And I dreamed about, you know, like I envisioned, like, you know, little kid, you know, one day like just hanging out with them and skating. Now I can call any one of them up and say, what are you doing? You want to skate today? It's pretty, I still trip on that. I love keeping that like little kid vibe inside me. I like getting starstruck, you know, by my heroes and keeping that alive. You know, it's just a special time in my life. So, it's awesome.
But is skate culture competitive like other sports?
Not really. It's not, it's kind of taboo. Like when you go to a contest, right, like sometimes it's even taboo to admit that you want to win. Like most guys, I'm just coming to have fun. It'll be cool. Like, I just want to have a good time, like whatever. But I think that's just people who are super nervous that are just trying to like not have to deal with when you do bad and have to deal with the pain that comes with that. Mm-hmm. But me, I'm like, yes, I'm coming. I want to win. If I do terrible, I feel horrible. I'm pissed off. Don't talk to me. I'm going home. You know, just gonna sit in my room, leave me alone. Or if you win, like, yes, that's what I came for. It's what I want to do. So I personally definitely have a competitive side. But like when you're street skating, it's not so much of a competitive thing. Street skating is more like an artistic thing where it's like I always compare it to music, right? Like you might like one artist, you might like another artist. Mm-hmm. Is anybody right about who's better or not? No, it's just like what you feel, what your vibe is. So like street skating is like that. Like you might like a guy who just does the scariest, most dangerous things, or you might like a guy who does the most technical hard tricks to ever do, or maybe this guy just dresses cool and he does his tricks smooth. They're not the hardest thing in the world, but he's got a good vibe about him, just looks good doing it. And you're like, so it's all about a flavor and a vibe when you're street skating. So it's not so competitive except with yourself.
But yeah, I feel like that's so hard to, I guess, so the ultimate competitor is the most laid back in the skate world because you're just like, no, you know. I can't admit that I really want this, but I really want this.
You can. It's just about like a certain level of confidence, willing to admit it. Like, you know, I feel confident enough. I've been around long enough to where like, look, guys, like, are we going to play this game? We all know. Like, are we really pretending like, you know, I know who is here to win. Like, you three are here to win. You guys aren't admitting it because you're nervous and don't feel like you can win. So you're not going to say you're here to win. And so it's like, you can spot them out, but you know, like, if people ask me in interviews before or after a contest, I came with my game plan. I'm here to attempt to win. If I didn't come to win, or I didn't feel like it's possible to get in range to win, then I'm not coming. You know, like I'm gonna stay home and practice until I feel like I'm ready to come. You know,
and it's also about respect, though.
Hey, yeah, you don't have to be disrespectful to admit that you want to win. You know, you don't have to disrespect anybody. Just be like, hey, like, I put in the work. I'm here to do it. Like, I'm here to go toe-to-toe. And if somebody else wins, he's the better man. Hey, he respect, you know, it is what it is. But, it's you don't have to be insulting.
That has to be nerve-wracking.
For sure. I mean.
Why you say that?
Just the jitterbugs, right? So you know, I'm pretty sure there's like people you've seen in street skating that's very nice. Mm-hmm. And then in competition, they're not so good.
Fall apart, yeah.
Right? Because they can't, their nerves doesn't know how to like calm down here.
Yeah.
And because it's legs, mm-hmm. like in them, like in the game, legs, yep. In them games, like you can have the jibbly legs, but you know, I can still dribble the ball up the court and be cool until like they get back normal. In skating, that seems like that's, you're done.
Yeah. If your nerves hit you hard enough to where it causes physical like shakiness, it's really, really difficult to skate properly. You could have done in practice at the contest your same trick that you plan on doing 1,000 times, but as soon as they call your name and your whole body shakes, mm-hmm. I mean, I've definitely been a victim of that for sure. Like I just skated my first real contest in 5 years last weekend. Mm-hmm. I didn't do great. I didn't do the worst, but I didn't do great. But like it'd been 5 years since I've been in a major contest. And like I was cool going into it. I was in practice school. And then they called me and I'm like, oh shit, this is real. Like I haven't, oh my God, I forgot what this is like. Oh, and like I had to gather myself real quick, you mm-hmm. know. But yeah, so that was a good reintroduction to getting back to it.
As soon as that name get called, that adrenaline just
Yeah.
But is that something you can work on, just being able to block shit like that out?
It's the mental practice. You can definitely work on it. Personally, I heard Kobe say something really cool in an interview. I forget when it was, but he said something about like you got to accept it. Accept it. The more you fight it, the more like it's like trapped in there. I don't know. The more you're making it a big deal. Whereas if you just like, yeah, I'm nervous. I can admit it, I'm nervous, mm-hmm. a little nervous, but I can accept it and go forward. And when I heard him say that, like makes a lot of sense to me, you know.
I remember my first time being nervous, like to the point I was like, yeah, this ain't gonna be a good one.
Yeah.
It was my first All-Star game, right? It was my very first All-Star game. It's like I'm here. I got the jersey. Like I'm so excited. Like, and then it seemed like every player became this ultra type of player to me. And I'm like, wait a minute, I just bust your ass, bro.
Yeah.
You're trash to me. But like the kid came out and it's like, everybody's like superstar level. And I'm just like this little kid, like, hey, how you doing? Autograph. Or like, and I'm in a game, like doing, you know, doing this. And Beyonce, Jay-Z, this
yeah.
and this.
Yeah,
and he
yeah.
called my name and I'm just sitting like, nah, I'm good. I'm like, I'm good. I don't need to play right now. Like, I'm good.
Yeah,
like,
can I just watch?
Yeah, I can just sit here and just watch and enjoy this whole thing. Yeah. And it was just, I think I was like 1 for 7.
Is that
probably over 7.
I do recall. Is that part of that you're questioning yourself if you're worthy enough to be there?
No, it's one of those things you dream about it, right? You've watched it. You watched the... you know, the All-Star game, you watch Michael Jordan, you watch, you know, Magic Johnson, you know, when, you know, he came back, won MVP. So you've watched all these games where you're seeing like the elite, it's the elite. Mm-hmm. It ain't no bench player coming in mm-hmm. talking trash or you buzzing that. It's the elite. It's like the cream of the crop.
Yeah, yeah,
but now
yeah.
you're among them.
Yes. So you're like, you're accepted into the club, and you know it's like it's that first day. It's like you know, like
surreal.
Come on, like, first day at work, right? Someone says, "Yeah, you know, you're at a Starbucks," and someone says some shit, and you're like, "Wait, what? What?"
Yeah,
like, you're just nervous.
What?
You know? Like, you're just, and that's what it is on every level. Like, I was like, "Oh my God, this is not what I expected."
Yeah. But it's beautiful too, like that, those nerves, but I love being in those moments and like taking back and like absorbing it. Like, wow, like the 12-year-old me right now to be seeing this would be tripping right now. So yeah, it's
12-year-old you is not allowed to be there right there. Like you could, but he can enjoy it after the fact.
Right. Yeah. The 12-year-old you is what's making you nervous.
Yeah. Like,
And the thing you're saying about what Kobe was getting at was, harness that. Yeah. It's adrenaline, I guess, basically.
Yeah.
So harness that energy and, you know, use it in the moment.
Yeah, like almost like, what's that one martial art? Is it judo where they use the weight of the opponent against it to like, mm-hmm. like you have to use the nervousness mm-hmm. to help you instead of like fighting against it and like You know, I feel like when you build it up in your mind, the nervousness, and then you try to block it out, you're just subconsciously telling yourself that it's a bigger deal than it is. And like, oh, and then you hit the point of no return. You're like, you're stuck. You're froze. And you're just, I got to go home.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. You might be getting hungry. So it's the perfect time to talk about our good friends at HelloFresh. They're back. With HelloFresh, you get healthy, fresh, pre-measured ingredients and mouth-watering seasonal recipes delivered right to your door. Skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. And that's why it's America's number one meal kit. HelloFresh cuts out stressful meal planning and grocery store trips so you can enjoy cooking and get dinner on the table in just about 30 minutes. Enjoy a wide variety of easy, delicious options for all three meals per day, plus every snack and special treat in between with the HelloFresh Market. HelloFresh offers the flexibility you need to easily customize your order on the app and within minutes. Easily change your delivery day, food preferences, plan size, or skip a week whenever you need to. And that's what it's all about, cooking healthy and easily so you don't have to think about it. Get on with your life. We talk about sports and athletes and mindset and training. Do you think they have time to meal prep? Well, it's essential, but HelloFresh is right there with you to get it done. So here's what we got for fans of the No Chill podcast. Go to HelloFresh.com/NoChill12 and use the code NoChill12 for 12 free meals, including free shipping. That's HelloFresh.com/NoChill12 and use the code NoChill12 for 12 free meals, including free shipping. Can't recommend it enough. It's great. It's America's number one meal kit. One more time, that's HelloFresh.com/NoChill12 and you get 12 free meals with free shipping. Get started today.
Now, the other thing that is really important in the skate culture, and we've talked about this before, is being relative. And so there's different eras, and I know you've been through a few of them now, and staying relevant in different eras. So, I mean, what is the thing about that keeps you relevant?
I think I like to keep up to date with relevant maneuvers, relevant tricks that are being done. And I want to be trying to push the envelope and help keep that bar moving. But other than that, like, I don't know what it is, but I'm blessed and grateful that the skate fans still seem to be happy to see me and still support me. So I just give that up to God. I don't exactly know. And I think if I try to analyze it too much, I'd actually mess it up. So I'm gonna just not think about it.
Probably personality.
Okay.
You know, just some personalities, just people gravitate to. Mm. You know, no matter if you're on a skate field or off, people just gravitate to it. Because I look at Instagram and, you know, I'm looking at superstars and they're irrelevant. Mm. And I'm sitting there like, you're first ballot Hall of Famer. You're like all God. And the next generation don't even really know you. You know, because
this guy right here.
You're quiet. No one knows. You're just one of those guys. It's like, and if you don't know how to connect with what's coming, then they're not going to pay attention to you.
Yeah, yeah.
It's, you know what I mean? So it's like one of those things where it seems like it's the personality.
Sure,
it's just
sure.
You. You're just, that's your, you know, that's one of your gifts when you're not skating. Just I know how to connect with people.
Yeah. I also like to, I like to stay skating with like younger dudes on the come up, like mm-hmm. to keep me hungry. You know, guys my age, there's very few who are still like, hungry, mm-hmm. and so I try to, you know, I'm definitely the oldest dude in my friend circle by half a decade.
You're
or
not
more.
That old, so it's not like that.
In my friend circle, yeah, like all like early to mid 20s. So I think that helps a lot because I'm seeing what they're into and what they're what that generation is bringing to the culture and not trying to fight it. Like, you know, back in my day, we would never do that or whatever. Yeah. Like, you know, just.
That's what it is, Gil. Don't
fight
it.
It's okay to be influenced by the new culture.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. Because you said this term before. I don't know if you invented it, but vulturing. So you're thinking about Drake, is he wants to stay connected to the youth,
yeah,
take something out of them, right? And then LeBron too, you know, still super relevant, you know, as we're seeing right now in this run that he's on. But you got to stay connected. Otherwise, it falls off for you.
Yeah, because like with any generation, it just seems like the older you are, the more you hate the young. Right?
Yeah, sure.
It's just what it is. It just seems like that's a pattern in everything.
Yeah,
just like, you know, the older guys think we did it the best, not realizing what you did. Someone was looking at you and decided to do a little bit better.
Uh-huh.
And probably because you didn't think of it, you just don't like it.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like
one. It's the ego.
It's more of the ego thing than reality. And it's like, you know, if you're one of those people that just accept, like, listen, someone's going to catch me just like I caught someone and I just want to see what they're doing. You know, just it's part of it. They want to ask me for something, teach them little tricks here and there. And, you know, then they can move on and move on. Like, there's nothing better than someone retiring and says, you know, I got to thank, you know, P-Rod for, you know, inspiring me when I was little. And now all of this sounds like, who the hell?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
that's,
you know, how, you know, older guys get brought up when you actually dedicated yourself back to, you know, the grind of someone's coming up. But
yeah, it's a huge honor when, you know, you see new superstars of whatever field you're in paying homage and saying, you know, respecting you and your work and what you did. Like, that's huge. You know, there's nothing wrong, you know, but there is that ego thing part of you. So I can still do, you know, that's just the competitor in you, you know, but you got to sometimes set yourself back and realize, like, all right, dude, let's take the ego out of it and let's just look at it for what it is and appreciate what it is.
But you're still looking for the challenge. You're still in that.
Most definitely.
In that
I still feel like I got a lot of gas in the tank, for sure. But maybe it's a little more mature view of it now. Like, because there's, you know, there's people out, the talent out there right now that I can't even come close to, you know. But it's great to watch. And that's why I like watching them and learning from them and taking pieces from the new generation's kind of game to help evolve and develop mine. No different than when I was a kid. I was just looking up to the older guys and I was taking pieces from here. Oh, I need that. Oh, yeah, I need that skill. Oh, let me develop that. Now it's just like, just because I've been an established dude for a long time doesn't mean I can't still get inspiration and, you know, take pieces and evolve myself. So,
yeah, I think that with older generations, sometimes we just don't, we don't understand that everything gets better in a sense where moves become like, moves that were done 20 years ago, those are like practice moves now. Like, this is winning competition moves, and this is like
for sure.
A four.
For sure.
You did that move today, that was a 10, there's four now.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, like kids watch, kids get stronger, kids get more athletic, and they're just watching and doing it and trying it, trying to add their little spin. Because everyone wants to try to take something and add their little twist
100%.
To it. And that's just natural. You know, sometimes you just got to be like, hey, listen. Yeah. Like when people's like, yeah, I invented the turnaround three. I was like, yeah, I started it, but Steph owns that. That's his shit now. That, like, yeah, I gave the idea. It was my thing. Yeah, he does it better. You know what I mean? I can admit that. He doesn't. I don't know if he's done it on the game winner, but he does it better. You know, he's done it 4 or 5 times in game. Like,
right.
Like, he's done it like, shit, I would never even try. Like, he'll shoot, turn around, get like, it's like, wait, what?
Yeah.
What kind of confidence you guys have? But
Yeah, it's like, you know, because that generation that came up off your generation, you guys set a certain level. So now you built the platform. Mm-hmm. So now they can come up on the platform here. You know, we're like, you, the generation you came off, put this platform. So you came up and built it to here. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's just, it is what it is.
But when you pioneer something, That's the ultimate. You pioneered it. These guys are going to push it forward. So you let that go. Pass the baton.
Yeah, that's sometimes baton don't want to be passed.
Yeah, you're just like,
you're just fucking old.
And they're like,
not yet.
The other thing to stay connected is that, though. So when you have that, you know, and you have a signature shoe, it's a statement about yourself, and that lives on because now we know through like these with Jumpman logo. Mm-hmm. I don't need to see him playing right now, but I know I like his shoes. Mm-hmm. And culturally, you're still connected that way.
Yeah, no, that's definitely huge. It's definitely huge. I guess maybe till way after, whenever it is, hopefully a long time from now, retired and whatnot, you know, then I can sit back and appreciate it. But, you know, when you're still in it, it's like, you're like, it's nice. I like being connected to culture, but no, I can skate still. Like, I'm doing it. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, in a way, is that bigger than you because you're saying like you guys are like this? So you're one of the group for the you've had 10 signature shoes with Nike. Are MJ, Kobe, LeBron,
KD. It's not a big group.
It's not a big group.
It's pretty cool to be the only non-basketball player and only dude under 6 foot. So I like.
But what the thing about it, yours is actually generational shoes because like. You know, growing up in the Valley, you know, everything is lows, right? You know, you low top, wear with jeans, I can do. So when I was designing my shoes, that's all I was thinking of, right? Low top, you know, so you can wear it in school. I said, because kids don't like wearing basketball shoes. Like, I was like, it's because I'm going off of where, you know, the Valley, where I'm from. Like, you know, it was like, no, these are what we wore. We wore like Hush Puppies. We wore... Socrates, was it Sockneys or Sockneys?
Sockneys.
So Sockneys, like, it's like depending on where you was from.
Yeah.
You know, so those are the shoes, the Andre Agassiz, you know, those are the shoes we wore. You know, it was like, because we're everyday fit, so we're wearing shorts for the most part, you know, cargo shorts or something. You know, so it was one of those things where when I was designing my basketball shoes, I was like, let's do it this way.
Yeah.
You know, so like watching your collection, it was my whole vision.
That's cool.
It was the whole vision, like colors, kids like colors. People want to be different. People want to be inspired, you know? So just to see it is like, you did it.
Ah,
you did it.
Thank you. I'm really happy. I'm happy with the way this one particular came out because this one, out of all the shoes I've had, is all my shoes in one. And it just tells the story. It's my whole career in when one pair of shoes, you know, each piece is from a different shoe I had over the years and was different. You know, you're in a different place in life. Maybe I was probably like 22 when this piece, when this shoe came out from this piece. You know, like I was like 20 when this one came out, you know, like 30 when this one came out, you know, so it's like cool, like different
it's
parts
like a
of your life.
On your shoe.
Yeah, yeah. So it's just, it's a real special one to me just for that reason because it's literally like this shoe, you can't just, think of it and design it. Like you had to live all those eras and generation for the shoe to finally come to be. So that's why it was real special to me.
Wait, so do you have the most expensive Nike shoe?
No,
out there?
No.
But in what way? Resale?
Resale.
No. There's the when I was in Portland 2 weeks ago when we were about to do the launch, I was at the campus and they had a pair of the Nike Paris Dunks that they said were going for 160 Gs. So
I was gonna say the Dior Jordan ones are up there.
Those are up there.
No, this is you have one that's 100,000, right?
No, no, I don't think so. If there is,
wait,
I like
he does research.
No, there was 100,000.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm well, not there was aware one, of that.
What do you got in the closet? Because
I'm not. Yeah.
Do you have every shoe?
No, if. See,
that's crazy.
All of them have passed through my hands for sure over the years. And, you know, especially early on, I was just like, people would be like, why are you skating those? I'm like, they pay me to skate, man. They pay me shoes to skate. Like, I'm wearing my skate shoes. Like, but if I'd have known, if I'd have really took it, I probably could have had a million plus dollar shoe collection, you know?
That is crazy. Like, if you ask, probably the only person who has all of his shoes is probably like Chris Paul.
Yeah?
He's the only one because he's just Jordan collector. When it comes to your own signature shoe, for some reason, like none of the person who has, he doesn't have them.
Oh, my signature shoe. Yeah, I've saved at least one of every shoe I've had. I thought you just meant like any of those like super expensive, the ones that became super expensive.
You don't get them?
I do.
Oh.
And over the years, I did. Like, I've had the Paris Dunk. I had all these dunks, but I didn't know what they were going to be. So I just skated them, or in the moment, I may have sold them to some guy. Hey, $500, sure. I'll you know, that's all profit for me.
The funny thing, too, is you could have kept them if you still have their just beaters, sign them and put them on the internet now.
Yeah.
They're more.
If I'd have, for all the years, all those exclusive ones that I can't find, I've had them all. And if I'd have saved them and just kept them on ice, I would. I'd have been retired years ago.
And
then
what's the fun is, and it's hard to you can't recreate them either.
Nah, that's then the.
What did you do with you? Anything that you played in, like the Dolce Gabbanas, whatever, you
got rid of them.
What'd you do though? Just gave them away.
Yeah,
the fans. Yeah,
that's what I said. Like, you know, when you're in the moment, you don't really think about the future. You know, you're just like living in the moment. Somebody wants your shoes. Like, you know, you're just signing, getting rid of stuff, and you don't realize that at one day.
But when it's your
like own, even my 60 jersey, I gave that shit away, and then like was it 2013? The guy gave it back.
That's cool.
Yeah,
that's cool. When
Birmingham,
stuff like
that he was happens. The Birmingham point guard.
Oh, Fahim. No way.
Yeah, Fahim.
That's so cool. It's cool when things like that happen.
He was at the game. He said, "Give me your jersey after."
Yeah,
and then you score 60.
Yeah, score. So those games, I score 60. And
I would have kept that.
That's crazy.
Yeah, hey, won the Birmingham too.
Possession is 9/10 of the law. But when you have your own signature shoe that you're a part of, and that was a big thing for you, and we got a little teaser. There may be some Gil Zeros coming out in the future. You were part of the design though. You wanted input on that. That was ahead
of
you
time. Always want input.
Oh, some guys didn't. So they were just like, "Cool, my name's on it. I'll wear it."
Yeah, it's usually your first one. You know, then eventually you're like, hold on, I don't like that. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and add that. And then, you know, once you start getting up to 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, then it becomes like really more about, you know.
Yeah, you're a little more experienced at the process by that time.
But as a kid, you had those, or at some point, you had those dreams. You saw Michael Jordan, mm-hmm. Allen Iverson with their own shoe. Hey, if I ever got one, it'd be crazy if I had one. Like Tony Hawk. Had one, and yeah, you're like, man, if I could ever do that.
Yeah, I mean, that was my dream as a skater. Like, my dream wouldn't be complete, right? To be a professional skateboarder, you have to have your name on a skateboard mm-hmm. and a signature shoe. Like, for me, that was the ultimate completion. There's dudes who have signature skateboards with no signature shoes. And for me, like, the dream just wouldn't have been official if I didn't get that. And I didn't know it was going to be with Nike. That's something I didn't know. When I started skating, Nike wasn't involved in skateboarding. It was just like I wanted it on the coolest Vans. Skate brand. Yeah, and I was like, that would have been my dream. And then Nike came knocking, and like that blew my mind. So, and then now to be able to say I've got 10 of them, just from riding skateboard, you know, flipping my board around the valley for the last 20-something years. I mean, it's crazy, 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 crazy.
The other thing you said there is having your name on a board and a brand, that brand right there, Primitive, your company.
Yeah.
That was the other big move, Gil, was imagine that you start your, in the skate world, you start your own label, your own brand, right? And so for you, at what point did you say, all right, I want to do this, you know, on my own, and you had the vision for Primitive?
Well, it wasn't my vision, actually. It was my partner Andy's vision. And originally we started as a sneaker shop. We wanted to make when I got signed with Nike, he would always call me and be like, "Let's start a sneaker shop," because he was the manager of the local skate shop, so he knew how to run a store. And he wanted to do a sneaker shop, and we wanted to put one on Ventura Boulevard to represent for the Valley, because like that's our Melrose, that's our Fairbanks. We want to be on Ventura Boulevard. Yeah. So we got opened up a store on Ventura Boulevard, and we were just a retail shop. Had the cool shoe wall sneakers. People would come in and get the sneakers. But then we started making like some shirts, started making a little bit of boards, and we noticed people were liking them and gravitating toward them. So we expanded the line little by little. And then eventually it just became a full-blown brand, and we closed the store down, just went all online. Mm-hmm. And now we sell to all skate shops and things like that and directly online. We don't even sell sneakers no more, nothing like that. We just became our own brand and only focus on that. And it's kind of how it evolved. So, yeah. But to answer your question, I guess, to say what made me think of that was he was hounding me, and I finally realized, like, well, one day I'm going to have to retire. One day, you know, I'm going to have another plan to earn income. Mm-hmm. So I need to start looking into investing and doing whatever I can to, like, I have no other skill. I've never thankfully had an actual job or anything. So like, I wouldn't be able to like adapt to that so easily if I had to just get thrown into the working world. So I was like, let me just try and set up a foundation so that when that time comes, I can continue living the lifestyle I'm accustomed to and not have to stop, you know?
That script P, I mean, someone wore a hoodie on one of these episodes. They're just saying.
Yeah,
you didn't notice at the time, but
we're gonna have to bless you guys with some plenty of it. So,
all right, we're big fans. Well, all right, so this is what we do, and you're a hoop fan, mm-hmm. among other things, Valley kid. Mm. So we do some Ask Agent Zero, where you pick his brain, turn the tables on him. So
okay. What was the player that you most like? Like when you saw you were playing them or their team, or whatever, like that you were most like enthusiastic about attacking. You know what I mean? Like,
Lakers and Kobe.
Yeah.
Lakers and Kobe.
Yeah.
It was, you know, when you're from LA. So when I was in high school, when they mentioned me, it was like, oh, he's the Kobe of high school. Like, you know, for the area, you know, I had tried to grow my little fro like his. You know what I mean? Try to grow my little fro like his. So, you know, just watching, you know, just watching his mannerisms, you know, yeah. you know, you're talking about an 18-year-old kid, yeah. you know, coming straight out of high school here in L. Like, you've heard high school kid, but now you got one in your own, like, oh, my yeah, God, yeah, you know, yeah, it's yeah. like he's that good, you know. Mm. Like, what is he doing? What did he do? So, you know, it was one of those things where I tried to align myself with everything he was doing. You know, mm. he's going to... You know, he's in an arena. I want to see what he's doing. How is he doing it? You know, like, you know, watching his games more, realizing, you know, he wasn't playing checkers. He was playing chess, mm. you know, and I just couldn't wait to be, like, in that. Like, oh, mm. okay. All right, he's hounding. Okay, he's doing a, yeah, I heard him say, get it off the glass, you know. Mm. You know, now you're part of that whole little atmosphere.
Right.
And it's
right,
like,
right.
that's where I thrive. Like, mm-hmm. it's like, oh, I need to be a part of this energy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it was one of those things where when we played all my, it's like, it was one of those where there was no nerves. It was one of those games where it's like, I was already mentally and physically ready for every single time.
Mm.
It was like, it was just... Like, no matter, I don't care what, I was going to have a great game. No matter what, I was going to have a great game. My best game was going to be there. Like, I just, you know, the hardest fought game was going to be again. That it was just that I already knew that going in.
Mm.
You know, so it was just one of those, he was just one of those people that brung out.
Right.
The
battles that you live for.
Yeah.
Yes. I love it.
That's what I said. I told somebody, like, I was going to change because he was the Black Mamba. I was going to change my name to the Black Mongoose.
Ah.
Yeah, because those were the enemies of each other, you know? Yeah. But it was when I was like, yeah, I don't know. I like Agent Zero, man.
It's good because it's like, sometimes those type of enemies, they're not actually enemies at all because it's like, there's those certain people that are like, are worthy of being rivals, you mm-hmm. know? Without them, you know, like Batman and the Joker, you know what yeah, I mean? Like, yeah. it's like, they make each other rise. So in a weird way, they're actually better friends than your actual friend because like there's a different type of relationship that they can bring out of you that nobody can. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, see, and I was probably more like the Joker. He's Batman, you know, he's all world. And I'm just this little nagging fucker that just, you can complete me. If I can play you 82 games, you know, it's just, it'd be the best thing on earth, you know, and I was that guy, you know what I mean? Yeah. Just,
it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And
I love it.
You get him that way too. Well, actually bringing it all home, Kobe is a guy you had a lot of interaction with through Nike.
Yeah.
You know, what was the wisdom that you took from him in your experiences?
You know, I learned more from just like watching interviews. And I used to always, still, I mean, I watched all the documentaries, interviews and stuff. Like when I would meet him in person, I was way too shy. Like I was, hi, how are you? Nice to meet you. And he was cool as hell. All right, man, you know, I tried to skateboard. I bust my ass before. Blah, blah. He was cool. But like, I was way too like tight to like ask any real questions. Just like, I was just so starstruck and just happy to be there. Like, oh, this is cool. Like, you know, so I regret not being able to like loosen up enough to like really ask him, you know, in the moment of like, you know, certain kind of things, especially on the mental game, you know. But you know, I'll watch and study all greats across. I don't care what the sport is, because I feel like the mindset transcends anything you're doing. So like, if you're great at whatever you do, I want to know about you. I want to study you. I want to learn about you. Find out what I can bring, because I feel like it's the same spirit in all those people.
Yeah, but the reason I asked you what was your gift, because I'm watching, I'm in a gym, right, a little local gym, and Will Smith is there, right? And then I was like, man, I've always wanted to ask him and Denzel this question, but I'm nervous. And so when I got to see Denzel, I just freaked out. I was like, like, you know, he orders this jacket, orders this, what was it, black, Johnny Walker Black. And I'm like, same. And then he's like, oh, this is rough. Malibu, I taste some Malibu. This is a little rough for me.
Need a little flavor.
So I'm watching, I'm with Will, and I'm like, I'm going to go ask. I was like, hey, my name is Gilbert Arenas. How you doing? I just want to ask you one question. What's your gift? What makes you great? And then his same thing. Hey, that's a great question. Never asked that one before. And then he had to think about it. And then he said, willing to fail. He said, I think I thrive. Like, I'm willing to just try anything and fail and don't worry about failing. He said, some people are scared to fail. Mm-hmm. He said, no, I want to.
Yeah.
He said, I did this golf movie, didn't know nothing about
golf. Bagger Vance.
He said, I went out there and was like, of course, golf. He said, I was so horrible at it that I got a little depressed. Like, why am I this bad? There's no way I'm this bad. He said, from there, I just locked in. He said, day after day, I just spend hours and days just like, and I'm not even golfing in the movie. He just said, but he said, I will take any role and I'm not afraid to fail be great at it. And I'm like,
yeah, that's heavy. I saw a snippet on Instagram one time, him talking about, you know, fail forward. Mm-hmm. As long as you keep failing forward, you know, you're progressing. Even though sometimes those failures feel so bad, you feel lower than low, but like you're still improving through those failures. It's pretty cool. And I learned that because my father's a stand-up comic. Mm-hmm. And stand-up comedy is tough, bro. Like, you watch them... Some night they go out there and they bomb, and this crowd and people are just staring at them like, nah, they're not funny. You're just like, they get off stage and they are so depressed. But then the nights when they hit and the audience is loving everything, they're just on a high. It's like emotional roller coaster. But I always looked at it and I was like, man, I would rather slam so hard skating than get up there and try to put together a comedy routine and just bomb like that. Just that's some other kind of pain, like. But once you can become accustomed to that, I mean, what do you have to be afraid of, you know?
Yeah, you know, because I was a big comic guy watching, you know, comic, and it was like you would see like some guys thrive, some guys come in, and I'm like, man, what happened to him? He was funny, like he was like really funny, like where'd he? And then you know, you finally meet him one day, and like, yo, what happened? like why did you stop? Like, you know, like you know. And, you know, it's just one of those things where, like, it was like, had a show and it didn't go so well. They didn't like the jokes. And I'm sitting here like, there's, like, a whole world.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like a whole world. But, you know, sometimes, you know, they think something's funny and it didn't click well. Like, well, it didn't click well there, but did you try the next night somewhere else? And then I guess that is a really – really hard perfection.
Scarring.
Like it's yeah. For you sure. go there, boo, get off the stage.
You got the like, hecklers and like, oh God.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
The fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah, you just exposed just yeah, right yeah, there. Just like, right there just... And everybody's looking at you, okay, make me laugh, go ahead. yeah, so that's definitely
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be like this. Like now thinking about it, I wouldn't. That's one
yeah.
Thing
once you can, once you can fail like all day long and like not be phased, then I mean, yeah, you literally just, like you can't be stopped.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's easier said than done, but it's
sure.
being comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Yeah, and you gotta go through the fire, and there's yeah. no way, there's no cheat code
there's
around
no
that.
Cheat code. Just,
it, like if you're gonna be a fighter or a boxer or whatever, you're gonna get punched in the face. I yeah. mean. you gotta get a lot of times, so it's just you gotta go through it, or you know,
get out,
yeah,
everybody, do something else,
fall down, get back up.
Yeah, everybody wants to be, you know, champion of the world, but they don't want to do what the champion of the world had to do. Like, it's fun to see the finished product, like, that's cool, I'm him, I can, but do you really want to go through the hell that he went through? Mm-hmm. Like, that's mm-hmm. not, you don't just, this doesn't just happen flawlessly, mm-hmm. you know.
That price you got to pay.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Gil, let's get on this. Just got to know. Actually, what is it? The common thread that hoopers that can skate, because there are a few.
Mm-hmm.
You got Kyrie. You got Dennis Schroeder.
Schroeder, yep.
Clay. Steve Nash, apparently.
Of course, Steve Nash.
Yeah.
Of course, Clay would know how to skate. That is just...
Yeah, yeah.
What is it? What is it about them? Normally, you wouldn't see a tall dude
skating,
on board at all.
I mean, skating is universal. Most kids at a certain age all damn near picked up a skateboard.
Mm.
You know, it's, I agree. You know, like my sons skate right now. You know, they just go around, you know, with the kids skating. I'm like, you know, that's a hill, but okay. You can get, like, I don't know how you're going to get up the hill, but do it.
<It's> you
know, and
yeah.
that's in the neighborhood. So all the kids just, you know, skate or, you know, was it rollerblade or whatever? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely one of those things where, like, you know, like that's what kids do. Like, yeah. you know, I grew up, you know, I'm not anything special, but I grew up playing basketball. Mm-hmm. I played, you know, on my team at school, you know, played baseball. Flag football, did a little bit of this, a little bit of that. If you're just the type of kid who's just like energetic and wants to, needs to move, you're gonna just try everything at least once, you know. And but Schroeder, like I seen some footage of him. He could skate. Like you could tell, like he was a skater. Like he skated, and I'm like I was blown away. I got to meet Kyrie in China. Back right the summer before he went into his rookie season. And yeah, he was telling me about, you know, he was into skating. He used to watch it coming up. I was
cool. That's what I'm going to say. It's
yeah,
cool.
Basketball, like, you know, everyone's like, it's just one of those two things that everyone tries. You
yeah.
know, you're going to skate, bike ride, play basketball.
And I think skaters, like, a lot of us, like, we're like, want to be a basketball player at heart. You know what I mean? Like, you know, everybody wants, you know, mm-hmm. we always shooting around. And, you know, you get all competitive and you try to, you know, pretend like you got some moves. And then, of course, when I'm not skating, a lot of times I am wearing Jordans or, you know, basketball mm-hmm. shoes. And, you know, I don't know. I think we get a lot from the fashion side of it, too. You know, been a big influence.
Skaters want to be hoopers. Hoopers want to be skaters. Used to be rappers, but now
it's
a new wave.
It's
yeah,
what it is.
Yeah.
It's a new wave.
Nobody wants to be who they are. What's going on here now?
Maybe. B-Rod, thanks for coming
hey,
on, man.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Now, I gotta officially give you, well, I don't have to give it to you because you've earned it. You're the king of the valley.
Oh,
you're the king,
man.
You're the king of the valley. I thought it was just me this whole time.
We're the valley kings.
It was like someone's bigger.
Like in Egypt, the valley of kings.
I'll say that. Two valley kings.
There you go.
Two valley kings right here. I'm Mike Botticello. That's valley king number one.
That one.
Okay.
One, because you probably went professional before me.
Nah, I was 2002. I went pro.
Yeah. Yes!
I'll say the original Valley King, Gilbert Arenas.
The more popular.
The current Valley King, Paul Rodriguez. This has been No Chill with Gilbert Arenas. We'll catch you next time. Remember, every Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern, we're on the Fubo Sports Network.